pull a muscle. If I am warm, I feel I can do anything. My morning workout ritual is the most basic form of self-reliance. It reminds me that when all else fails, I can at least depend on myself. It's my algebra of self-reliance. I depend on my body in order to work, and I'm more productive if my body is strong. My daily workout is a part of my preparation for work. This, more than anything else, is what rituals of preparation give us. They arm us with confidence and self-reliance. The talent agent Sam Cohn tells a story about an entertainment lawyer named Burton Meyer, who taught him a great lesson through a daily ritual. Cohn was working at CBS at the time, and Meyer thought he was working too hard for CBS and not enjoying himself enough. "You're overcommitted," he told Cohn. "You know, I practice law for fun. I don't have to do this." And I'll tell you how that came about. Ever since I was a young lawyer, each day I would come back from lunch and I would close my office door, sit in my chair, and for 1 hour I would quietly ruminate on one question, and the question was this: "Bert, what's in it for you?" A ritual of asking, "What's in it for me?" might not provide the most open-minded philosophy of life, but it will keep you focused on your goals. Taken to extremes, it's an unattractive way of seeing the world, but it does place your motivation right smack in front of you. When I walk into the white room, I am alone. But I am alone with my body, ambition, ideas, passions, needs, memories, goals, prejudices, distractions, fears. These 10 items are at the heart of who I am. Whatever I'm going to create will be a reflection of how these have shaped my life and how I've learned to channel my experiences into them. The last two, distractions and fears, are the dangerous ones. They're the habitual demons that invade the launch of every project. No one starts a creative endeavor without a certain amount of fear. The key is to learn how to keep free-floating fears from paralyzing you before you've begun. When I feel that sense of dread, I try to make it as specific as possible. Let me tell you my 5 big fears. 1. People will laugh at me. 2. Someone has done it before. 3. I have nothing to say. 4. I will upset someone I love. 5. Once executed, the idea will never be as good as it is in my mind. These are mighty demons, but they're hardly unique to me. You probably share some. If I let them, they'll shut down my impulses. "No, you can't do that." And perhaps turn off the spigots of creativity altogether. So I combat my fears with a staring down ritual, like a boxer looking his opponent right in the eye before a bout. 1. People will laugh at me. Not the people I respect. They haven't yet, and they're not going to start now. Some others have. London's Evening Standard from 1966. 3 girls, one of them named Twyla Tharp, appeared at the Albert Hall last evening and threatened to do the same tonight. So what? 37 years later, I'm still here. 2. Someone has done it before. Honey, it's all been done before. Nothing's really original. Not Homer or Shakespeare, and certainly not you. Get over yourself. 3. I have nothing to say. An irrelevant fear. We all have something to say. Plus, you're panicking too soon. If the dancers don't walk out on you, chances are the audience won't either. 4. I will upset someone I love. a serious worry that is not easily exercised or stared down because you never know how loved ones will respond to your creation. The best you can do is remind yourself that you're a good person with good intentions. You're trying to create unity, not discord. See the curtain call. See the people standing up. Hear the crowd roaring. 5. Once executed, the idea will never be as good as it is in my mind. Toughen up. Leon Battista Alberti, a 15th century architectural theorist, said, "Errors accumulate in the sketch and compound in the model." But better an imperfect dome in Florence than cathedrals in the clouds. In those long and sleepless nights when I'm unable to shake my fears sufficiently, I borrow a biblical epigraph from Dostoevsky's The Demons. I see my fears being cast into the bodies of wild boars and hogs, and I watch them rush to a cliff where they fall to their deaths. It's a little more extreme than counting sheep, but it's far more effective for me. This is a head game, of course. What ritual isn't? Maybe it's a little pathetic that after all this time, I need this sort of pep talk to deal with my demons, but the unknown is a fearful place, and anything new is a step into the unknown. That fear is why ancient cultures created rituals in the first place. They lived in constant fear of other tribes, of predatory animals, of nature and the weather, all of which they believed were controlled by one or many awesome and awful deities. They hoped to gain control over their food supply, their herds, their fertility, their safety, their fears, by appeasing the gods with rituals. They would kill a certain kind of animal and bleed it in a special way and stick it on a fire and toss some more animals into the flame and offer the blood in a gold flask to the heavens, because doing so would guarantee a healthy crop or a victory in battle. Rituals seduced the primitive tribes into believing they could control the uncontrollable. Centuries later, the ancient rituals seem silly, unless, of course, you believe in them. But are they that much different from all the rituals, big and small, that we employ to get through the day? I remember being a very ritualistic kid,